Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now, I want to get back into something with you in these next 10 minutes that we got before we go to break, because I asked you earlier, and this was based off of a column that you had on sportsradio16.com, or a mention in your observation. John does observations every week. He does a report card, does observations, and does also another column for us. Writes for us three times a week on sportsradio16.com. If you're not reading it, you sleep, and you need to check it out. But the most recent piece, I put the headline on there because this is one of your subheads, one of the things that you mentioned, and I thought it was topical, was that Nick Caserio's job is not in jeopardy. And if you say that, I take it to the bank. Nick Caserio.
Take it to the bank.
I'll take it to the bank. I don't have any reason not to. Nick Caserio's job is not in jeopardy. So, and I asked you, and we had the discussion of like, what would it take and at what point does that seat start heating up? And you said next year. But I want to take it to someone else now, just a little bit below in terms of ranking in the organization, from Nick Caserio to Lovie Smith, because that's been a big topic on this radio station. That's a big topic on the internet. And I think when you're this bad, when your team is this bad, and I'm talking about Texans fans right now, when you root for a team that's this bad and has been so bad over the last few years, you're just searching for answers, and you're searching for pretty much almost anybody to blame and point the finger at and who you can figure out to get rid of. And so I'm struggling with this one, I'm going to be honest with you, John, because it's hard, based off of what we've seen this year, to really defend anybody and say, hey, this person deserves to keep this job. Like, I can't do that in good faith. As much as I like Lovie Smith, as high hopes as I had for Pep Hamilton and Davis Mills as a pairing, and I didn't necessarily think that Davis Mills was going to be the guy, but I thought Pep gave him the best chance to do it if he was capable, if he was going to do it. I've been incredibly wrong about that. You and I both have been incredibly wrong about that, at least that element of it. And so I'm curious on where you think Lovie is with his job status right now. Obviously, they're not going to fire him in the middle of the year. That would be absurd. No. It would be preposterous. But I do feel like it's in play for him to be back and back one and done's, and I think that is horrible optics for the Texans as an organization. And it would show, to me, what it would show from an organizational standpoint is that there is a flaw in their head coach hiring process, and at the very least, some instability at the top, which is probably something that people have figured for a while now. So I want to get from you, John, what does Lovie Smith have to do to keep his job? And like, do you think at this point it even should be in play that he'd be one and done?
I think when you look as pathetic as they did against Washington, and you've lost five in a row, and if you lose the rest of your games and you get beat up by Watson and you lose to the Jaguars, I think they're not going to have any choice. But everybody likes Lovie. They respect Lovie. They don't want to fire him. They don't want to have to fire a second consecutive coach as one and done. That makes them look terrible. I argued with Landry and John Lopez on In the Loop. I think coaches would be reluctant. Some would be reluctant to come into a situation where you've just fired two guys after one season and you've had four, and this would be, you'd be the fifth coach in 4 years, going back to Bill O'Brien and Romeo Crennel and David Culley and Lovie, and that you would be the picture of the poster child for instability and ineptness as an organization. what they need to happen, just like they needed for Mills to be good and it hadn't worked. They need to do like last year, upset a team like they did the Chargers and the Titans. Make sure you beat Jacksonville. You know, give people some hope for next season. I think Lovie, if he's back, he'll have to have a new offensive coordinator. I think he'll have to get a defensive coordinator outside the organization. And they'll have to get the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach is going to have to be somebody who's called plays before and is proven. But if they continue to lose like this, they may not have any alternative. And not just lose, but be totally embarrassed like they were in that Washington game. It's interesting, Brandon. If you look back at the Titans, totally dominated, 7 points. If you look at this one, totally dominated, 13 points. They're not getting blown out in games, but we saw them totally get dominated twice in these games. And since the Las Vegas game, and the Raiders have won only 3, their offense has been the worst in the NFL by far. That's why they're making this change. But they've got to give people some hope. And right now, the hope comes with an LESS on the end.
Yeah, John, it's just such an odd thing to be. And I was entertained by that back and forth that you guys had on In the Loop the other day, because honestly, John, I feel like there's a little bit of an oversimplification on how attractive this job is going to be.
John Lopez thinks it's the best in the NFL, which I totally disagree with.
Both of them appear to think that it's a really, really good job. Like, even if Lovie Smith is fired after one and done, and you got back-to-back one and done coaches, and you got 3 coaches in as many seasons. Really, if you want to count Bill O'Brien, 4 coaches in as many seasons. If you want to count Romeo Crennel as the interim, you got 5 coaches in four years. If you bring in another one, like, that type of instability, I don't care what kind of resources you got. That, to me, like, how does that not say more so, oh, they've got the number one pick, number one overall pick? Like, you could be excited about that, but if I'm a coaching candidate, I'm looking like, man, they don't know what they're doing over there. They've got, I would be the 4th or 5th coach in this many years. They've got the number one overall pick, but there's no guarantee that we even agree on who the number one overall pick would be. And even if we did, like, how do I even trust this organization to be the right place to nurture a number one overall pick? Like, if I was going to have one, this is the glass half empty view of it, of course. But there is rightful skepticism about coming to this place, especially if they fire Lovie Smith after 1 year, I think. Like, that to me is the part that they're not giving enough credit for. They're looking at all the positive things of, you got the number one overall pick, or you might. You're going to have cap room for the first time in however many years since Bill O'Brien messed up the cap. You know, all of these things that are reasons. Like, in theory, yes, I understand and agree what they're saying. These should be things that would be attractive to a head coach. But I'm not exactly so sure that would for sure be the case, especially for one who had options. Like a coach that's worthwhile that you're going to want to hire is going to be somebody that doesn't have to come here. It's going to be somebody that's going to have more than likely multiple interviews and multiple places that they can go.
To me, if they do fire Lovie, even if it's next year, Caserio should be able, as the general manager, to hire the coach. The McNairs will sign off on it. You know, they settled for Lovie. They'll never say that, but that's what they did because he was there and has a track record and he'd been successful. I look back at his first year in Chicago. They won 5, then they went 11-5. They didn't have a quarterback. And then when he went to Tampa, they were 2-14. They drafted Jameis Winston, started him as a rookie, and they improved by 4 games and went 6-10. He got fired because the first year general manager, Jason Light, was worried that reports that offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter was going to leave for a head coaching job. They panicked, fired Lovie, and elevated Cutter, and he was soon gone. Same thing happened in St. Louis, where they thought that Mike Martz was going to leave, and they wanted to keep him. So Dick Vermeil was encouraged to resign, and he did. I do believe it's going to be so much. People will be fired up next year because the top pick, it's a quarterback. If they don't have a top pick, they will. But if they don't, it'll still be a quarterback. The question is, will they like Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud? There's so much more to go into the scouting process on those quarterbacks. And then you're going to have all these draft choices. John Metchie will be there. Everybody expects – that his treatment for leukemia would be successful. He'll be an extra second-round pick. Then you'll have – Caserio will have about $80 million under the cap, and he could go get two legitimate, expensive free agents to fill need positions, and that people would be really fired up about it. And I think they would still be fired up if Lovie were the head coach. But John and Landry think they need a new coach, and people get more fired up. And they can't really – you got to do what gives you the best chance to win, and you can't worry about optics. It will not surprise me if 5 or 6 years from now, Josh McCown is a successful coach in the NFL, worked his way up, and people look back and go, my goodness, they should have hired Josh
McCown. See, that's the thing that's going to confuse me, though, about the whole optics element of the discussion, John. Either you care about optics or you don't. And if they don't care about optics or shouldn't care about optics or however you want to characterize that, then I don't get why they would have, like, why didn't they just go with their convictions and hire Josh McCown? I was not personally in support of that. But, like, say it with your chest, Texans. Like, why not go ahead and do that if, in fact, you don't care about optics? Like, not caring about optics would have led you to hire. If not caring about optics would have led you to hire Josh McCown, and it's the same sort of line of thinking that would lead you to fire Lovie Smith, then you should have just hired Josh McCown. Like, either you do or you don't. You know what I mean?
Well, optics didn't have anything to do with that. God never coached. So you could easily say it was because he'd never coached, which was the case. Now, everybody says...
No, what I mean, the hiring of Lovie Smith.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about, you're saying that if you didn't care about optics, hire McCown. McCown didn't get hired because he'd never coached beyond high school. And Lovie got hired because he was there. They'd already been through the whole coaching search, and they had interviewed a bunch of candidates. They've interviewed a lot of candidates the last 2 years. And they got sidetracked on that McCown thing. It's orchestrated by Jack Easterby. I don't know why Nick Caserio was buying in, but McCown must have been a great talker. And but I think based on everything I've been told by people who worked with McCown on his 12 teams in 17 years, that they think he's going to be a great coach. He just needs to start at the bottom like his quarterback coach and work his way up. Lovie Smith loves McCown, had him in Chicago. He said that was the first guy I told him I wanted in Tampa. But Josh, I think this year, after having the rug pulled out from under him, he wanted to coach his youngest son back at Rusk High School. And then he'll be coaching in the NFL or maybe a college job next season.
I actually want to pick this discussion back up on the other side because I have another question for you sort of in regards to the whole Nick Caserio head coaching dynamic. Later on in the show, though, we are in the holiday spirit, Houston, we are going to ask you what you are thankful for as a Houston sports fan. I know Payne and Pendergast did a version of this segment earlier on in the week, but we actually here on Thanksgiving. So we are going to take the Houston sports fan perspective. What are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? And what's on your Houston sports wish list? Okay, but before we do that on the next segment, I want to ask John McClain, how much is the Texans head coaching performance? Okay, so that means David Culley, Lovie Smith. How much of the Texans head coaching performance is tied into the evaluation of Nick Caserio? I want to hear that from John McClain. That's on the other side. Stay with us.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Happy Thanksgiving, Houston. Getting you set for a day full of food and football. Here's SportsRadio610.com's Brandon Scott and the Hall of Famer, John McClain.
Brandon Scott and John McClain with you here, taking you up until the 11 o'clock hour when you will have a full slate of NFL games. You got three games today. You can catch them all right here on Sports Radio 610. Brandon Scott and John McClain both brought to you by SportsRadio610.com, and John brought to us by Horn Solutions as well. We appreciate Gary Horn and the fine folks at Horn Solutions for producing John for us, sponsoring John for us, bringing them to us each and every week. Earlier in the show, John and I were having a discussion about Nick Caserio's job security, how by all accounts, his job is intact. There's no need for him to worry about being on the hot seat, or no reason for you as a Texan fan to be wondering, hey, is this seat getting a little bit hot? Might there be some turnover in the front office? But I want John to help me settle a debate that I've been having with one of our other hosts here at the station, Ron the Show Hughley, who hosts afternoons with Clint Sterner on The Drive from 2 to 6 on weekdays. And might as well mention here, since I brought him up, I will be in with Wade Smith, former Pro Bowl offensive lineman for the Texans. Wade Smith will be at Social Beer Garden from 2 to 6. John's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour, so you'll get both of us tomorrow as well on Friday, but along with Wade Smith, with myself, for the entire 4 hours. But a debate that Ron the Show Hughley and I have had, and I don't know how much of a debate it is, because I don't think either of us actually knows the answer to this question. That's where you come in, John, with a little bit more expertise and knowledge here. But the discussion we've been having is how much Nick Caserio should be held accountable for, if not the coaching hires themselves, the performance of the head coaching hires. And maybe that's the same thing. Maybe that's a distinction without the difference that I'm making there. But and you've gone over some of the background of how we got to the place where they hired David Culley, how they got to the place where they hired Lovie Smith. But the simple question that I have for you, John, is do we know how much the performances of the coaches that the Texans have hired since Nick Caserio has been the general manager? Do we know how much that factors into the evaluation of Nick Caserio himself as general manager?
He's a general manager and he oversees everything. So when they're bad, he deserves to be criticized. Now, I don't think that the hiring of David Culley was solely Caserio. I think Jack Easterby had a lot to do with that. Jack Easterby wanted Josh McCown to be the head coach. I think that they settled for Lovie because he was there, because they came to their senses on McCown with no coaching experience. But I don't think that Caserio is out and out hired a guy that he wants to hire. And I think if Lovie's fired after this season, they should let Caserio do the interviews, hire the coach he wants, and McNair should sign off on it. If it doesn't work, it'll cost Caserio his job, just like I think if the quarterback that they draft doesn't work out, that could coach him his job. I think next year he'll be under more scrutiny. It'd be the third year of the rebuild. I thought they'd win 6 games this year and win like 9 next year and be in a wild card running. Right now I do not see it. And I think that next year Nick's job will come under a lot of scrutiny. I noticed John Lopez has a column on GallerySports.com, Slick Nick and the Art of the Dodge.
Yes.
How long until Caserio feels the heat?
Yeah, he coined the Slick Nick term yesterday on the air.
Well, that's not, he's not under pressure, any pressure now. He's under pressure to win, but he's not under pressure to be fired 2 years into a 6-year contract and a massive rebuild.
John, I'll say it seems like crying over spilled milk or maybe it's water under the bridge because the last 2 years have happened now, right? David Culley was hired and fired. Lovie Smith was hired, and we'll see how long he keeps the job, but you can't go back and undo the past. And I'm not saying that you necessarily even would, but it's happened, right? And then the Jack Easterby thing has ended. That whole experiment or however you want to, the Jack Easterby era is over. But still, John, the way you just characterized it has also been my understanding of it as well, just to be clear on, and this is the kind of been the heart of the debate with me and Ron, because I felt like I had a little bit better intel on this and you even more so than I do. But it never felt like it was all, even though Nick's in charge of the football operation and he's the general manager and he's the guy that the McNairs or that Cal had sought out and that they had been wanting long before he actually even got the job. It still, even with that known, still didn't seem like he was the one solely making the head coaching hire. So, like, if you wanted to blame somebody for whoever they hired at head coach, there could be enough blame to go around between the top three figureheads. Let's call them Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, and Nick Caserio. But that's the part I don't understand, though, John, is how it is that you covet this guy the way, this guy being Nick Caserio, that's who I'm talking about there, as much as you have, and all this time that I figure he's been waiting for his opportunity to be a general manager in this league after making his name under Bill Belichick, why come this far? Is it just because of the relationship with Jack Easterby that allowed him to maybe let his guard down? Like, if I'm Nick Caserio, I'm coming in and I'm hiring the head coach. It's going to be all on, because he's the one that we're all looking at once the thing goes awry. So I just, that element of it never really quite made sense to me, John, how Nick Caserio would come this far. And even if it's half entrusting the head coaching hire and the vision of the team with Jack or with anybody else other than himself, like he was the one who was supposed to provide the vision for the team. So I guess, long story short, what I'm getting at is, maybe that was a mistake of maybe Nick Caserio. You tell me if I'm mischaracterizing this part, maybe not being assertive enough and being sort of the dominant voice in the head coaching hire.
And we don't know. He might have been.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe but so. Maybe
Caserio
so.
Caserio was there because they tried to hire him in 2017. Bill Belichick would not let him out of his contract. He and Bill O'Brien are tight. And then they tried to hire him after they got rid of Easterby and O'Brien, got rid of Brian Gain. And Bill Belichick wouldn't let him do it, and they filed tampering charge against Easterby, claiming that he was talking to him when he came to a ring ceremony at Robert Kraft's house.
Right.
And then the rules changed, and they were able to get him to come in here. And you had O'Brien, and you had Easterby. O'Brien I had talked to O'Brien a couple times, and he just loved Caserio. You know, a bunch of teams that tried to hire him. He'd been there 20 years, got 6 rings. He was Bill Belichick's right-hand man. I've talked to Scott Pioli about him, who hired him, and everybody swears by him. You never know about a guy when he's in total charge until he gets in total charge. And so he comes here because he and Easterby have the same agent, Bob Lamont. Easterby was very close to the McNair family. I'll never forget when Easterby and McNair flew to pick him up in Bedford, Mass, and bring him down here. Jamie Roots, who was on that search committee, got left out and was very, very upset about it. And so everything was set up. You think if you got a good friend of yours, and he admitted Easterby's a good friend of his, and telling you all these great things about an organization, you're going to believe it. You got a great young quarterback. You come down here, the quarterback issues a trade demand. You think, okay, well, we'll be able to change his mind. And, of course, you weren't. It would have been so interesting if Watson had never issued a trade demand and said, I want to stay here, and you have all these lawsuits. What would the McNairs have done about it? I bet you they're glad they didn't have to make that decision. And so that's why Nick is here. He's given total charge of the personnel department. That means coaching and everything. But I'll guarantee you he has not hired the guy that he wanted to hire without other people, Easterby, the McNairs, everybody involved. And the next one, whenever that is, if he's here, he needs to be the one that hires the coach.
All right, John, it's Thanksgiving. That's I'm sure you're aware. That's why we're here, and not the normal guys who are here, Payne and Pendergast. You and I are filling in on Thanksgiving. So I'm in the holiday spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm in the holiday spirit. So I want to list the things that we are thankful for as Houston sports fans. Here's the twist, though, John, because I know that the morning show guys did this earlier, and they did it more specific to the Texans. But we're gonna expand it for Houston sports fans in general. But the twist is you can't mention the World Series. You can mention something Astros related, but the World Series is a very obvious thing to be thankful for. So we're going to think a little bit outside the box beyond that. What are we thankful for as Houston sports fans? And the other part of it is your wish list, because Christmas is a month away, right? So I want to get 713-572-4610. Let us know, what are you thankful for as a Houston sports fan, other than the World Series, and what's on your wish list as a sports fan? We'll talk about that on the other side.
Happy Thanksgiving, Houston. Getting you set for a day full of food and football. Here's SportsRadio610.com's Brandon Scott and the Hall of Famer, John McClain.
I want to know, Houston sports fans, what is it that you are thankful for? And what is on your Houston sports wish list as a Houston sports fan? Text in, call in if you want, but primarily text is probably the best way to get this message across. 713-572-4610 is how you get in. And I'll start it off. I'm going to be honest with you. I know that the Texans are making a quarterback change. We've covered it, and we'll talk about it more on the show. They're going from Davis Mills to Kyle Allen, and we'll see what this offense looks like. But I'm thankful that they waited. And you said this earlier, John, that they could have done it weeks ago, and it was merited weeks ago, and I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. But I am thankful that they waited until they got a little bit of a cushion for that number one overall pick before they did it. And this is a drastic change of tune for me, John, because I didn't talk like this last year, okay? Back when they had Tyrod Taylor, and Davis Mills was the rookie, and everybody wanted to see, why are you playing Tyrod Taylor? See what you got in Davis Mills. What's the point of that? You know, what's the point of this Tyrod Taylor thing? And I was like, well, because I just think Tyrod Taylor's probably better than Davis Mills. That was my thought back then. And I didn't like the idea of, hey, even if Davis Mills isn't any good, just tank, just get a low pick, you know, and all that. Like, I wasn't feeling that. Tune has changed this year, John, because I've accepted what our life is here in Houston. And so if I'm going to start off top, I'm going to say I'm thankful that they kept this Davis Mills thing going just long enough to get some cushion. And they did do that because they got a little bit of separation between them and the Raiders for the number one pick last week, right? So it's not – they can even afford to win a game is where I'm getting at there. I'm glad that they didn't pull the plug on this even earlier. That's going to be the first thing that I'd mention as a thing that I'm thankful for as a Houston sports fan. What you got, John?
That's what you're thankful for.
I'm thankful that it took this long.
My wife, Carol, and my brother, Curtis, and all the friends I have in Houston, and all the followers, and I'm glad to have jobs. You know, I work for SportsRadio610.com and GallerySports.com. I do 11 talk shows a week in six cities and three Utopia podcasts with Sean Pendergast. I'm glad I turned 71 next week, and I'm glad people still give a damn about what I say and write, and I've been blessed. I don't feel like I've worked a day since I mowed yards in Waco before I went to Baylor and started working at the Waco Tribune Herald going into my junior year. I've been blessed, and I continue to be fortunate. And one of the reasons, like, I would never want to leave Houston because I have so many friends here who have the same interests that I do. And even though we spend all of our time talking about sports, there are a few of them that like movies and TV shows like I do. But mainly I'm just glad to be alive. And even though I don't look like it right now, my health is good, and I'm glad to be able to do all the things I do, including coming on here with you and spending 5 hours talking about sports.
Oh, man, you went real life. Now I feel like a less well-rounded person.
Let me ask you something,
I feel
Brandon,
like a less well-rounded person.
What else do you
person.
Feel blessed for
than I actually am. Like I'm actually, I don't know if it's coming across on the mic, but I'm actually a real life person with pretty good perspective on life, not just sports. And I dove straight into the Houston sports angle and leave it to John, a true living legend over here, to reel me back in.
What else you got thanks for?
On what to be thankful for. I would echo what you said, just the health. And honestly, you know, I've got some challenges going on within my family, some things that I don't necessarily talk about a lot on the station. But people who know me personally know what we're going through. And I'm just happy to have the support around me in a time like this. John, you and I were talking about this before the show or somewhere in between the breaks. But one of the hardest things, and I'm going through some stuff family-wise, health-wise, that are really super challenging and super serious. But one of the things that I value and that I'm glad I don't have, that is not my story, is loneliness in a time like this. Like, I'm glad I'm not lonely or by myself in a time where I really need support and people. And John, I'll thank you, because you check on me quite a bit, especially as much as you can, to make sure we're doing okay. I appreciate that. And so even in hard times and times where you might be frustrated and angry, to feel like you're not going through it alone. One of the things at different churches that I've gone to throughout my life, one of the themes at all of them has been, you don't do life alone. Okay. And that's regardless of whatever your religious, you know, setup is or whatever your religious beliefs are. I think one thing that we could all take in common is that we are a people of community, and we need to rely on and be there to be relied upon, you know, for people that need us throughout our community. And I will say, if I was going to name one thing for sure that I'm thankful for, it would be community, and to have the support of others in trying times. And
you
also
got a great family too.
Yeah, I got a great family, and I've got a great support system. Wouldn't be here without them. And honestly, man, if I'm honest with you, like, being here right now with you, John, you know, like, this is pretty cool. This is basically, you know, I've been out of school now, out of college now, let's call it about 11 years or so. This is what I've been working for.
Wow, you've been out a long time, haven't you? 11 years.
Hey, but look, though, this is what I've been working for. I know, John, you've seen a lot. You've forgotten more than I've seen, okay? I get that. But this is what I've been working for. This is the thing that I wanted. The thing that I prayed for and asked God for all of this time. And here I am sitting up here with you, John. And I know you don't remember this because you've done so many talks and done so many things over the years. But I studied under Mickey Herskowitz, so you know very well.
Greatest writer in the history of Houston.
In the history of Houston. And I'll tell you this, John, he never let us forget it. Like, he didn't say that, but Mickey never let us forget it when we took that sports writing class at Sam Houston State. And he invited you to come talk to our class, and I'll never forget this. In that class, there were only but so many people that were actually interested in sports writing. I was one of them, but it wasn't a lot. For a lot of people in that class, it was maybe an easy grade, you know, something that they just kind of took and blew off a little bit, you know, maybe a GPA riser or something like that. For me, it was dead ass serious, John. I wanted to be a sports writer. I knew who you were. I was learning about Mickey Herskowitz because his heyday was even before my time.
Yeah, Mickey's okay? 88 years old, I think.
Yeah, so like I actually had to go to school on Mickey and actually learn who exactly he was. And then I obviously realized that he's one of the greats, if not the greatest, as you mentioned, of all time. The greatest Houston sports writer of all time. So that meant a lot to me. To fast forward, that was, if I'm not mistaken, in 2009. So to fast forward 13 years later and be sitting here in this studio with you doing a 5-hour show, which you've never done yourself before, as you admitted. The first time John McClain, and maybe the last time, because 5 hours is a lot, but the first time John McClain does a 5-hour show on Sports Radio 610, where he's been working for years, he gets to do it with your boy. So I appreciate it.
Glad I was nice to you since you edit my stories and put the headlines on
That's
there.
Right. That's
I
right.
I also want to give a shout out and thanks to some friends of mine, the Posse. These are people that I used to go on remotes every Friday for decades, and I'd see a couple of guys that came every week. And so I asked, hey, why don't you guys sit together? And then there's four of them that do it. There's Mike and Tony and Rick and Amy and sometimes Charlie and Mark Waltz, who's listening up in Pennsylvania. He would lived here and he was a member of the posse, and we have become really good friends over the last 20 years. They're diehard sports fans. I tell you another thing I'm happy about. I'd only written about football for 45 years, and I'm also very thankful for the Chronicle. Chronicle gave me an opportunity in 76 to cover hockey for 2 years, and then the Oilers, and then the Texans in the NFL. And I'd never written about a champion here. And then I wrote for Gallery Sports 8 consecutive columns on the Astros, because it's the first time I've ever written about a local champion. And it was so much fun. Oh, I wanted for so long, Brandon, to think back to the Love You Blue Oilers were so close to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Then the Run and Shoot Oilers, playoffs 7 years in a row, and I wanted to cover a Super Bowl team in Houston because I knew how much it would mean to the fans of Houston, the listeners and the readers. And now I'll be dead before other side of the grass, because I just don't see the Texans getting in that position based on everything that's happened. I wish they would, and it would be fun. And also, I've been doing talk shows since 1976 here. Jerry Trupiano, the godfather of Houston talk, gave me an opportunity to come in and actually do shows with him. And I just had a gift for BS, is the way he put it.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting in 85, I started getting paid. And the first time I got paid, I got $500 for the season. I think I'm getting $500 to talk about sports for a season. I should get frisked every time I leave studio.
I want to manifest as many years as possible for John McClain, as many years as the Lord is willing to let him see, like all the time. I want to manifest that right here, right now on the radio. Before I make this point, though, Nick, I doubt Nick Caserio is listening right now, but if this gets back to him, let's build a winner here before John touches the other side of the grass, man, while John is still here. Let's do that. All right, you got a 6-year contract. We 2 years in. I like to think that John's got way, 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 way much more time than that. But let's do it quickly, especially while he's still got all his faculties.
I'm all for that, Brandon.
He got a good mind on him still. He still got good sense. Like, before John is way out on the deep end, let's try to make that happen. Hey, I want to read a couple of these texts in that we're getting on what folks are thankful for. On 713-572-4610 is the text line. Someone mentions, did I lose it already? This is 6810 mentions that he's thankful for, they're calling him White Boy Chaz in the vein of the afternoon show of the drive. They call that's Chaz McCormick, for y'all who don't know. But he's thankful for Chaz McCormick's catch in Philadelphia, his hometown, by the way, where he made that chalk outline right there on the warning track.
Shroud of Turin.
Yeah, that was huge. That was huge. That's a good one to be thankful for. I'm right there with you. I know I mentioned no Astros, but hey, I'll allow that one. 713 mentions thankful that Jack Easterby is gone. You know, look, right now that doesn't necessarily mean here or there.
Doesn't affect him on the field.
Yeah, because the Texans are still pretty bad, but I can get that. I understand. The 4606 mentions I'm thankful for great talent and leaders like Jose Altuve, and for both of you working on a holiday. That's a shout out to you and I, John.
Thank you very much.
So I appreciate that. On his wish list, he has that Cal sells the team. That's unnecessary, man. Like, what? That's,
they're
first
not
of all,
selling the
not
team.
Happening, right? You want to say that again, John?
They're not selling the team.
All right, so you can check that off your wish list from 4606. From the, let's see, what is this? 8628 says, I'm thankful for a beast running back, and I'm thankful for World Cup soccer. So those are some
USA.
Why not? Look, John, I watched Pep Hamilton's press conference yesterday, and we hit on this a little bit earlier in the show. But I couldn't help but wonder, was it a mistake for him to stick around here and call this Texans offense? We'll talk about that after the break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.